He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last five, 6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Monday, December 22nd. Few days till Christmas. 3 days till Christmas for those who are counting. I know I am. Good to be here. Good to be alongside you all. It's the only show of the week for us here. We'll be taking the holiday break, heading on out. Plus, we got bowl games all over, so no reason to be here. Got all the bowl games to watch, all the big things to pay attention to. We got a lot to react to in today's show. Busy, jam-packed show to get to you here as well. So we'll get into it. Big thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us in the previous hour. Tony D's show, Sportsline Bulldog Hour, Tony D, 2 to 3. Big thanks to Tony for his show. He'll be back at some point. at some point. I don't know. I'm looking at the schedule right now. I think we got him on Monday the 29th. So next Monday is the next time you hear from Tony D. Like I said, it's going to be a good show today. If you want to get in on the conversation, Lee's Air Hotline is the way you can do it. 559-320-1430. The way to get a hold of us here on the show, 559-320-1430. The way to reach the Lee's Air Hotline, sponsored by Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. You've got some weather here in the Central Valley. 66 feels great. The window opened last night. Did not feel chilly. It's a little more balmy than I thought it would be. 66 degrees, 64 tomorrow, cloudy. Then the rain comes, and it looks like we're going to have a rainy Christmas holiday for all those who are paying attention. And I'm not trying to scare some people, but I'm looking at next week, and I see a high of 44 degrees on the horizon for next Monday. So chill factor at an all-time high for those who are watching and paying attention here in the Central Valley. So bundle up, folks. Should be good. Hey, but maybe you just go to Arizona for the Arizona Bowl and you get through it all there in that fashion. So, anyways, good to be here. Like I said, 2 hour show. Getting you ready for Niners football tonight. Niners and Colts in a battle. Playoff implications on the line, although the Niners have clinched already. But there's a division to win, if you're thinking about it, for the 49ers side of it. So we'll discuss that game in a little bit. But let's get on the show here to talk about some of the weekend reactions to begin, and that's where we'll go. We'll have a Bonatti Blitz in the show today. Yes, we're going to rank and pick Week 17 games. Because it's the only opportunity we got. We're going to preview the bowl game for the Bulldogs as well, which is coming up on Saturday. And we'll give out the schedule, send you on your merry way for a wonderful Christmas holiday. We're streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch right now as well. So we're live there. So if you follow us on our ESPN Fresno platforms, be sure to check us out there as well. And in for the next 2 hours is our lovely person here who does all the good stuff for us, Tanvir here. Tanvir, I know you look like you're running around right now. Hopefully everything's okay back there, but
yeah, everything's all right.
All right.
It's just nitpicking.
Okay. Is what I'll say. All right. I get it. How was your weekend?
Yeah, weekend was interesting for sure. I think that the whole Lions debacle thing about the refereeing and all of that was interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had some good games over the weekend. The Bears-Packers game I thought was sick. So I had a fun weekend. Got to play some basketball with some friends that I haven't seen in a minute. So, yeah, pretty good week.
Getting in some shots, getting in some football, college or pro as well. I did not anticipate all the bonker finishes we got, and we're not even including Thursday. We talked about Thursday's game on Friday between the Rams and the Seahawks, and this week provided a lot in terms of it. And we can get into that in my who's been naughty, who's been nice more often. So maybe we just touch on some other topics real quick before we get into the NFL weekend. There was no Niner game to talk of course. We had this game today. We already talked about the Rams. I don't know if we need to really – I'll touch on that Raider game in my Benatti Benice with a different perspective on it. Hey, the Raiders showed up. Go figure. College football playoff happened over the weekend, of course. We had Alabama winning. We had Miami winning. We had the two large favorites advancing as well. I know some games left some things to be desired, I would say, from what happened. But nonetheless, it was some of it was very interesting. I have a friend. His name's Daniel, and we consider him a person who loves. He doesn't do this intentionally, but every time, Tim Veer, every time he says something is going to happen, the opposite happens. I don't know if you have a friend like that as well, because he declared Alabama dead. Down 17-0 to Oklahoma, and I'm like, I'm bookmarking this, and then surely the Daniel curse would happen for this Oklahoma Sooner team, and they came back and Alabama won over Oklahoma in that fashion. Not just I think it was a 2-score fashion, by the way. So it was going away, and so my buddy Daniel, his curse lives on. That was my favorite part of the weekend for me. Outside of that, but I don't know if you have a friend like that where you're like, buddy, everything.
He's like the reverse Kramer for stocks, but this time it's for sports.
Exactly. Do you have a guy like that, or do you?
not necessarily like that. I think there's some times where you say something and it almost gets to that point, but
right.
or if you say something as a hot take and it just completely doesn't happen. But I don't have anybody that has the necessary curse like your friend does.
Yeah, the powers are too strong, right, in terms of it. But anyways, I'm playing him in fantasy, by the way, this guy, and I just need him to declare that George Kittle's having a good game for me to end up winning over him. I'm up 13. He has George Kittle and Eddie Pinheiro, and I'm just praying it's 28-0 final, and it's all Christian McCaffrey tonight.
It's going to have to be a lot of Christian McCaffrey if they want to win tonight.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Any quick reactions from the sports weekend? Maybe we start with the college football real quick, from the playoff perspective. Any takeaways from you? Because I don't think there was much we learned outside of, you know, wind matters. You know, Pat Hill said wind matters in terms of weather, and I think we figured that out in Texas A&M. What a brutal season for how A&M season goes down. You go 11-0 to start a year, and you lose the last two in that fashion, and just suddenly that's how your season is over, and nobody's going to remember that A&M team and how it was, which I thought it was the one team I would have put money on to if they were going to get to a national championship in the first round like we saw with Ohio State last year. I thought that was the team to do it, and now they're out, and I think that was the biggest result from the weekend, in my opinion.
I mean, yeah, for sure. The 10-3 victory was something that I didn't even see coming, because Texas A&M coming into this game had averaged 34 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
And to have all of that come down to only 3 points scored against a Miami defense that's got some pretty good players. You know, they got a guy who's going to be like a top five defensive end in Reuben Bain Jr. But I still thought that they could go out there and score more points than they did.
Yeah.
And 3 points was kind of ridiculous. In terms of like the entire college football weekend, though, I think sadly, this is not an opinion that I had beforehand, but I think it's time to just, I'm not going to say get rid of the group of five getting into the playoffs, but I think it's time to let's just keep it to the power four. Cause I thought, and we've said this before, that we kind of just have to let it play out in terms of time. But I just think there's a difference between football and college basketball, college football and college basketball, where you're not going to get an upset in a playoff setting, especially on the road, for a team that is in the playoff right now out of a group of four conference. And as much as I love Tulane and I love James Madison and I love their stories, I just think that I'm not going to say there's no room for the teams like that, but I think I'm on the side at this point that we have to limit the amount of group of five teams in the playoffs.
Can I offer a different solution to what we are talking about leaving out teams in terms of this situation? Because I think the concept of the bracket needs to be thought about in a different way. Because I think, and this is an opinion I shared last year when it came to the college football playoff, if you are the four top deserving teams, regardless of whatever happened in your conference and whatever, to me, you should earn the right to play your game on your home campus. And so to me, I think the fanfare and the pomp and circumstance and whatever money it comes from of you making it to a college football playoff game, I think those first round games, in my opinion, should be the neutral site games. And I think you should flip it and make the top four teams play at home for the inherent advantage of doing that, as opposed to having it the other way when you have the arbitrary 5-8 teams be the home teams in that sense. And so when you create all the disadvantages, and I know home atmosphere isn't like a crazy, you know, in college you feel like it's a crazy advantage when it comes to it. It's not the end all be all. Talent matters too. But to me, I wonder if that slight adjustment can create maybe a different scenario here when it comes to those teams involved in the game. Do I believe JMU had a chance to beat Oregon? I don't think so. But I'm not saying it's 100 out of 100, but you get into these neutral site situations and maybe it becomes a little more of a different feeling to it. I think when you're a 1-4 seed, you earn the right to celebrate that kind of season on your home campus with a home game, as opposed to Oregon, Ole Miss, A&M, and Oklahoma arbitrarily having home games. Maybe that's the adjustment, but I know it's not sure enough for a lot of people out there.
I think the blowback to that would be the reason that you have the bowl games as the quarterfinals and semifinals is because there's still prestige to winning a bowl game. And I think if you allow a team that is having a first-round bye to not play for a bowl game, that's going to be a disadvantage. I don't know. I just think that
I get that.
There was an interesting point that was brought up by Champ Bailey like after the Oregon JMU game, and he was saying that he would say that a group of five bracket, separate bracket for that, and a power four bracket should be the way to go. And I don't know if I'll go to that extent, but I still think I like the bracket how it is. I just think that the teams, There needs to be a different way that we select teams for the CFP.
I get that perspective, and I want to push back, though, a little bit on the prestige of bowl or what you're talking about.
I mean, it's all gone.
Yeah, right? Like where we were arbitrarily doing this already with the New Year's Six bowls when they weren't in the college football playoff. We were doing 5-12, and we were doing 11 versus – it kind of was what the first round is, which is, you know, that Georgia – I think – like I looked at some games in the past, like number 3 Alabama didn't make it to the national championship in the BCS era in 2013, had to play a number 14 Oklahoma team, and that Oklahoma team whooped them in the Sugar Bowl in that sense. But like in the same vein, I think those games, when you compare like who is playing against whom in those kinds of environments, it's the same to me. It's just moving the dates up and putting them in that first weekend of bowl season in December. And maybe the bowl committee, the people who run those bowls, which by the way, it's a dying concept. I think you take whatever you get, no matter what day it is, you schedule it out, but I get it. And like maybe make the Rose Bowl always be the semifinal. But I know it would take the Rose Bowl away from everything, but then we're talking about maybe readjusting the schedule. I really like the idea of Army-Navy being the only week zero game. I know people traditionalists are thinking about moving that weekend around. We get into this calendar talk when it comes to all of this, but I would refrain from totally throwing the baby out with the bathwater because of 2 years of results, in my opinion. But that's me being, I think, a little more conservative in my opinion based off of what I saw. I'm not saying there are teams that got blown way out more than JMU did in the Oregon regular season. And you would say, well, they're qualified to play Oregon just arbitrarily because they're in that conference. You know what I mean? Like Wisconsin playing Oregon would not be that result. I would give props to JMU for what they did. And I think eye test to me, at least from the beginning of the game, I thought Tulane moved the ball well against Ole Miss for a little bit. You know, like, and then the Avalanche start rolling. And you can go on the results-based situation. But, like, that's me just kind of really looking at the football game and the narrative of it, and I don't want to react because I saw two teams win by 30. You know what I mean? Like, that's just – but I get the pushback on it from your perspective because you want good games, and those aren't good games. And I just say, I want one more year.
I was in the agreement with you before this weekend that we should wait it out and wait one more year. I just find it so difficult to see a Group of Five conference champion going on the road against an SEC or a Big Ten team and winning that game. And it goes against my personal just what I think about college football. It goes totally against that. But I just feel like for the product itself, I think that's the way.
Well, what are we we're trying to recapture what? From this Group of Five being included into the we're trying to recapture Boise beating Oklahoma in that magical game.
Or UCF beating Auburn. Or
Utah beating Florida back in the day Alabama. When Urban Meyer – or was it Alabama? When Urban Meyer was Utah's head coach back in the day. We're trying to recreate – what, was it Mountain West TCU with Andy Dalton who beat Wisconsin?
Yeah.
At the Rose Bowl, I think I remember that time. So it's we're trying to recreate that magic when that's a time and place in college football where that could exist, and maybe that's just simply where we are. It's the gulf is too much, and the argument is, well, how do you fix the gulf in that? And then now we're getting into the just how college football is structured nowadays anyways with the NIL and everything like that, in which I always argue that's why we should have a salary cap or some sort of NIL cap in college football so you can rein in this stuff and create the competition, at least level it out. In my opinion, I think that would change the playoff a whole lot if teams didn't have 30, 40, 50 million to spend in NIL. You know what I mean?
We're trying to find the football equivalent to March Madness.
Yeah.
And I just think it's just simply not going to happen. Do I agree that there is a fair way to go about all of this? I don't know if there is.
Yeah.
I heard rumors that they're trying to expand to 24 teams next year, and I think that would be absolutely ridiculous. I think that if we are looking at the landscape, I think it may just be the top 12 teams get in, and that's just who it is, right? And will there be complaining regardless of what the format is?
Yeah.
Yes. But when you look at the product of what the college football playoff is, I find it very hard to – and if there is a Group of Five team that goes top 12, then sure, they get in, and I think that's the way to do it.
But will they ever get to that point? Like, will the committee rank someone up to the 12? Like,
we've seen teams do that.
Like Boise last year, I guess, was in that conversation, and they had the
– UCF was – those couple of years, they were top 12.
But they weren't in a committee. Like, we're talking the committee from – well, okay, yeah, I get it. But I'm just – we're trying to fix the arm.
We're trying to fix the unfixable.
The whole body is broken right now of college football.
Yes.
And we're saying,
I agree.
And we're looking at the arm and saying, well, the arm is broken. Let's try to fix it. And I'm like, there's so many other things out there that like would need fixing, in my opinion. And this isn't the root of the problem of college sports right now in terms of it. But I get it. People want to argue it and people are wanting to see the results of it. But I would say, I think it takes a little more big picture looking at it as opposed to saying, well, if we fix the playoff, the whole sport's good. You know, like I'm cynical in that sense, and I don't think that's really the case either. So, but you know, we're gonna have four, I think, good games next week, or on New Year's, on New Year's Eve. We hope.
Last year when a number one Oregon got absolutely destroyed by a number, what was it 8 or 9 Ohio State?
Nine.
No, 8.
No, 8.
They played Tennessee.
They beat Tennessee. They were the 8th seed. Yeah.
Yeah. So I can hope is the best that I can.
We finally had road teams win in that first round, like. I mean, we're progressing.
Sure,
progressing to the upsets.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
But again, it was Miami that did it. And Alabama did it. An SEC team.
Yeah.
And it's weird because it's just against what I think, because I want college football. I love the upsets in college football.
Yeah.
And I think that the Group of Five deserves to be in. But after seeing what I saw last weekend, I find it very hard to say that.
I also think it was a very weak Group of Five year. Can I say that?
Yes, yes.
I think there are some strong Group of Five seasons. This was not one of them. Like, legitimately, like, for about the last 2 weeks of the season, before Fresno State lost to Utah State, I was sitting there, I'm like, I mean, there's a conversation about Fresno State being a team that sneaks into that.
Here's
the
what
Mountain
we do.
West.
We have four. We have a play-in tournament of the top four group of five teams.
Yeah,
and the winner gets to go to the playoffs.
You're gonna have like
we're just expanding it outwards and outwards.
I think there's a leap to the argument about the group of five when I think the group of five wasn't really strong anyway, and I think that needs to be taken into account in terms of like. I just think it's a bad year for the group of five to have this kind of argument of include us in the dance when I think there's been stronger group of five years, in my opinion. But
that's... I think if I had to just say one thing about, like, quote-unquote fixing it, I think you just go top 11 teams and then the rest of the group of five, and then you just go from there. But there will be a team, like, at number 12 this year. Like, who was it this year? BYU, I think.
Notre Dame.
And or Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're going to be like... we're better than Tulane, or we're better than JMU.
Who did they lose to? Didn't Notre Dame lose to a group of five team?
No, Notre Dame lost to Texas A&M and Miami.
Oh, that's right.
Both of which played.
I'm remembering the NIU game from 2 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah. And then they somehow got in the playoffs, right?
Yes.
Cool.
Great.
just checking.
Got to a national championship, mind you.
Just checking. That NIU team that we lost to in the Potato Bowl and stole their defensive coordinator from them. And now he's our defensive coordinator. So
it's a jumble.
Anyways, all right, let's take a break. We got a Who's Been Naughty, Who's Been Nice of the weekend right now. Coming up next on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Here on this Monday, our only show of the week before we head on out for our holiday break. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're getting ready. Did you buy your gifts? Because, man, you're in trouble if you didn't. Did you wrap your gifts? I haven't done that yet, though. I haven't wrapped my gifts yet. So we're dealing with that anyways. All right. Let's get to Who's Been Naughty, Who's Been Nice from the weekend. Tanvir, are you ready? What are you feeling? Are we in the nice spirit right now before Christmas, or are we in the naughty spirit? What are we doing?
I am a little bit of a Grinch when it comes to this segment, but yeah, sure. Let's go a little Santa and be a little nice this time.
A little nice. So let's go to our first Been Nice of the weekend, and we're going. It's Trevor Lawrence and those Jacksonville Jaguars. How about that? I picked them to win last week, felt good about it, and they win going away against Denver. Really, just another very impressive performance for Trevor Lawrence. Three touchdowns, ran for another. He's looked really, really like the quarterback I think the Jaguars have been hoping for when they picked him number one overall. And kind of bullied a Broncos defense that we all knew was very good. But I think the long passing game for the Jaguars, Parker Washington was impossible to stop for them, and then it kind of snowballed from there. And the Jaguars defense getting turnovers in certain situations, just a really weird fumble from Bo Nix between him and his running back there. I think it was R.J. Harvey who had the misconnection there. And it was. I would say it's hard to say uncharacteristic from Denver because I think we've been waiting for this offensive production from them, but I think it was very uncharacteristic for the defense to do what it did in this game, which made it look easy for that Jaguars team who now, I would say, Jaguars in Super Bowl is hard for anybody to put that into a conversation, but I'm trying my best to really think about it, and I think they have to be considered now after that game.
Yeah, for sure. They're definitely shutting me up. That I'll say. Yeah, I think that I was still looking for this type of performance, and they are now on the longest winning streak of, or second longest winning streak, I should say, out of any team. And the only other team that has a longer winning streak is their division rivals, the Houston Texans. So that is going to be a very interesting situation. I think right now we're sitting at Houston is and Jacksonville are definitely possible opponents in a wild card round. But Jacksonville, they were able to exploit that passing defense, especially the side that Riley Moss was on with Parker Washington. I think Parker Washington has and Jacoby Myers has given them a good passing game outside of BTJ. And so this is a team that they can get it done on defense. And we saw that in the game. They beat the Broncos' undefeated home streak this year. So that's as impressive of a win as I've seen over the last couple of weeks. And I'm still little hesitant on giving them that status of being the best team in the AFC, but they are making me believers a little bit after this performance against Denver.
Not bad for a small market team, right?
Yeah, I missed that. What was that all about?
Sean Payton said it in his presser. He's like, for a small market team, they play very well. And then the Jags goodness. Took it as a slight, and it's an us against them kind of phase about
Denver's,
that.
You know, the massive market.
They're decent.
They're decent.
They're bigger than Jacksonville. Who's Benatti? I love what my team did last night, but let's be honest, they should not have won that game because the Ravens' decision-making, and I get it. They had Tyler Huntley out there, and, Snoop Huntley did beat a Bears team this year, so it's not like he's any sort of slouch quarterback out there. It's not like the Ravens can't do anything in terms of it. But when you are up 11, and the last time your running back, Derrick Henry, touches the ball, is that touchdown that makes him go up 11? That's the last time he touches the football in the game with 12 minutes to go and you're up 11? Fireable offense? I am, boggled by the decision-making from the Ravens in terms of what they did on offense down the stretch. And give credit to Drake May. Of course, the two big touchdown drives kind of looked really easy for the Patriots as they figured it out. For a team that had such a mind-boggling decision to go for a punt in the middle of that game, which was so strange. A couple Drake May turnovers. The Ravens should have won that going away, and they allowed the Patriots back into it, and now the Ravens are sitting with just the smallest playoff hopes alive now for the rest of the season.
It's a stretch of games over this last year that we've seen of NFL teams that were really good last season just playing awful football because I feel like they've been figured out a little bit. And I think the Ravens, they had a little bit of steam coming into this game. They won a couple of games off of they had the Bengals win. But you lose 3 of 4 after a 5-game winning streak, you don't really deserve to be in the playoffs. And I think the Ravens this year, it has been a masterclass of how to make your team terrible. And I think that the coaching decisions have been pretty bad. Lamar Jackson, I think, has not been playing as good as we have seen him play. And this is the opportunity for every other team that doesn't have to deal with Burrow, Mahomes, or Lamar to get to a Super Bowl finally. And I think the Ravens, I don't think they'll make the playoffs. I think it's just this team has just too much to overcome to kind of get there. But this is just a systematic issue with these teams that they're relying so much on this quarterback that they don't really have a backup plan when it doesn't work.
And I don't know if you heard, I was watching the post game on Peacock. Like, they had the post game and Rodney Harrison was talking with Tony Dungy, and Rodney got so indignant about Lamar not taking off his helmet when he was doing an interview with Tony, like not acting like a leader, being very disrespectful. And also he's like, you need to call Tom Brady and like get your body right. Like, figure out how to like get your body to feel better in certain situations. Like, a knee to the back is nothing, but it's not nothing. But it's also like guys get that all the time. Trevor Lawrence got destroyed after a play.
Yes.
And like got right back up and was able to talk to the refs. And Lamar, who I don't even really know how he got, whatever the bruise he got on his back.
When the injury, like, we left to go get food during halftime and we come back and Lamar's not in the game and we were so confused about that. But your team is in a position to where you need to win games to get into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's asinine that I'm not questioning the guy's mentality because Lamar Jackson is one of the best football players in the world. But in that situation, I feel like if it's not dire, like if he doesn't miss next week, I think that's going to put a stain on what happened in this game. But it is something to really talk about.
Derrick Henry not getting a touch the rest of the game after the touchdown, though. Unforgivable.
I've heard some things about John Harbaugh that he shouldn't be back as Ravens coach.
I'm there on that. I'm there on that train with you. Hello, Carolina, sweet Carolina. The Panthers are now my next Benice. We'll give them credit for their victory over the Tampa Bay Bucks, who, all things considered, in that game, I think the Bucks looked like. I would say they looked like the better team for a while in that football game, and the Bucks did what the Bucks do, and it's just giving that away. But I want to give props to the Panthers who, God bless them for not being able to beat the Saints this year and somehow beating teams that are teams they need to win and winning in situations where, Bryce Young gets the drive he needs to get with about 3-4 minutes to go. You'd like to waste a little more time there when you're the Panthers offense, but do you want to hear this stat Tanvir. Bryce Young has the second most game-winning drives in a fourth quarter and overtime before his 25th birthday out of any quarterback ever since 1966. He has 12 of those. Considering, though, you're losing most of those games and coming back, only Justin Herbert has more at 13. He has more drives like this before his 25th birthday than Josh Allen, Peyton Manning, Jake Plummer, Drew Bledsoe. I'm not saying Bryce Young is him, but Bryce Young showed up and made the plays he did. I'm starting to think Teteroa McMillan is passing Ibuka for maybe rookie of the year looks. I'm trying to think of the rookie of the year race right now. It's a very strange one for me.
Both of them are.
But
I think defensive and offensive.
Yeah. I would sit there and really consider Teteroa McMillan right now if the Panthers win this division as a rookie of the year candidate as well. But the Panthers, man, got it done.
Yeah. Teteroa McMillan has really been coming on strong over the last couple of weeks. And so I think he's kind of taking it, and let's see if he runs away with it with the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
This is also an interesting thing for the Panthers and why I still don't see this team at the position that I want them to be, because they are a very good, very fun team to watch. They got a really good defense, got some good running backs, have a good quarterback and wide receiver tandem. They have, over the last 8 weeks, alternated loss and wins. Or actually 9 weeks, they've alternated loss and wins every week. So this is a very inconsistent team, as I've said over the last couple of weeks. But this was a massive win for their hopes to win a division crown. And I think that coming into this year, we kind of projected this Panthers team to not even be above the Falcons. So the fact that they're
leading the division.
Yeah, I know you did. You did. But that wasn't the consensus pick, yeah. I would say. Buccaneers, I think, by far and away were the favorite to win this division. And for the Panthers to come in and be basically one game away from winning this division, going to the playoffs in what, year two?
Year three of Bryce.
Yeah. I think it's a statement to how good Dave Canales is as a coach.
Not coach of the year, but been good.
He's been good.
Just reviving Rico Dowdle has been fascinating to me as a guy. I didn't think
about. They found a tandem.
I did not think about Rico Dowdle before this season. I'll tell you that. My next Benatti. We're going to the Detroit Lions here. Boy, what happened in the running game? That was certainly a contentious point of conversation for this game, certainly. And also just the inability to move effectively on offense, but also to the point of the defense just gaping holes for Jaylen Warren to run through. I know what's his name? The name escapes me. The big catch right before the half.
Kenneth Gainwell.
Kenneth Gainwell having a massive impact in this game as well when it comes to it. But in my opinion, this Lions team really has blown an opportunity in this football game with just how lackadaisical this offense was in the first half, the inability to find any sort of sustained success in terms of it throughout this game, but also in the terms of those situations where they needed stops, and this defense was just allowing guys to run through them in every situation. Jonnu Smith should not be ripping off 12-yard runs out of a halfback toss, but that's just how the Steelers are operating right now. And I'm frankly as disappointed as anybody in terms of what this Lions season has turned into. And this game was an epitome of what they've been throughout these last 5 or 6 weeks. And I thought they looked great against the Rams, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing against the Steelers team.
You know, as a fan of the 49ers, you're going and they're thinking, okay, you know, I think the Lions can win the next three games. So all we got to do is kind of win one game. And so the fact that the Steelers were able to beat this team, even, you know, the Lions were at home, which they've been a decent home team over the last 3 years. This was just it's a fall from grace from what they have been over the last 3 years. The rushing game has regressed, and I feel like the way that you beat this team has kind of been figured out. You got to just stop Jahmyr Gibbs, stuff him, and you got to score more than 20 points, and you can get a win regardless of where you're
at. Teams are getting 4 or 5 yards in the backfield when Jahmyr Gibbs is getting a football.
Yes, and they're stacking boxes. They're allowing – obviously, Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jamison Williams are two very dangerous wide receivers, but if you pressure this team, whether it's in the passing game or the rushing game, you're going to be able to stop them. And so – this is a Lions team that I found a great level of respect for over the last couple of years. And it's very sad to me that they still have a decent season, right? They're sitting at 8 wins. It's not the worst season, but for their expectations, no. It's not a great season at all. No. And so this is a team that I would like to see bounce back next year, but I think there's going to be a lot of holes that they need to fix, especially on the defensive side of the ball, because they're getting a lot of injuries on that side to kind of continue that momentum that they had from the NFC Championship game 2 years ago and then the number one seed last year.
They can have gripes for how the game ended, but they shouldn't have been in that position anyway.
It's the right call. Yeah.
The Lions, by the way, the only team to have 2 offensive pass interference penalties in the last 30 seconds of a regulation game in the last 30 years, according to Elias Sports Bureau. Just wild.
It's just they just have too many injuries in that secondary, yeah. And all their big draft picks like Terry and Arnold just have not panned out.
Yeah. Crazy stuff. Lions, man. Let's give my last but nice. Let the audience clap a little bit. I am going to give compliments here. It was hard to kind of think of another Benice. I'll be just straight up honest with you. But you know what? Who had a solid, just overall effective win and has continued to just kind of beat the drum of how their season has gone, which is, I think, a very good season considering the injuries. I think the Chargers just kind of doing that to the Cowboys. And I know the Cowboys season is over, and it was over when they kicked that football off on Sunday at 1 o'clock Eastern. But I think the Chargers, really good offensive output yesterday. I think the defense bottled up a Cowboys offense that I think we respect in some form or fashion with how they are able to handle things. And I think that was an overall impressive, just good, solid win from the Chargers. No drama to this Chargers game yesterday. And I think this defense is certainly now putting 3 impressive performances together the last 3 weeks for me, with beating the Eagles, beating the Chiefs, and beating the Cowboys. You know, I think this Chargers team is coming on strong. I've said it. They're not dead in the division, and now they certainly aren't dead in the division with the Jaguars beating the Broncos. And the Chargers now control their own destiny for that AFC West. I think this is a really, really great win from the Chargers on Sunday.
Yeah, the Chargers are a team that whatever they wanted to do in the offseason, getting their guys, drafting players, they have had it pan out for them throughout this entire year. Omarion Hampton coming back is massive for this team. I think he provides a next level running threat, for the Chargers. And Justin Herbert has been gashing teams with his legs, and I think that has really improved this Chargers offense with not only, I mean, the running game, obviously, but it allows the passing game to be opened up because you are worrying about Justin Herbert attacking you with his legs. And this team has a lot of good receivers on this team. Keenan Allen, Ladd McConkey, and Quentin Johnston. They have a rookie from Ole Miss, Trey Harris. And on the flip side, they showed for the last 4 weeks that they've been shutting good offenses down, like the Dallas Cowboys. And Jesse Minner has those guys playing at a different level. I thought the losses that they had over the offseason, lost some corners, lost Puna Ford to the Rams, I thought that might affect them, but Jesse Minner has gone out there and done an amazing job with this defense. So I think this is one of the hottest teams coming into the playoffs, and I think this is a very complete team when it comes to the NFL.
Yeah. We're going to our last Benatti, and that is a winning team, but I'm not going to give them credit for it. Man, the Texans, Tanvir, you and I were ready to back mortgages on the Texans beating the Raiders by a certain amount. And maybe I give a little credit to the Raiders and what they were able to do. But outside of it, if you take away a pick six from this Texans team, the Raiders team, you know, point differential wise, they were going to win this football game. You know, Ashton Jeanty coming alive on this defense. Like, what happened to the defense in terms of their tackling, which we were so sure about in terms of this Texans team? And then outside of that, CJ Stroud was, 56% passing before the fourth quarter? He did find it a little bit in this fourth quarter, but let's be honest, the Texans should be winning away in a game they know they need to keep rolling here into this playoff hunt. And they're probably going to make the playoffs, but I just don't know what they were doing yesterday with this Raider team.
Yeah, I agree. But I also think this is just a little bit of a lull game. This team has won 8 of their last 9 games, and I can't just get rid of that fact by a bad performance against the Raiders. They still have big wins against the Colts, the Bills, the Jags, the 49ers. So I think this is a little bit of a lull. Yes, was it a bad performance? Yes, it was. I think CJ Stroud kind of went back. He regressed to what he was doing at the start of the year, which was just kind of forcing to make big plays. But otherwise, I think that the Texans, I think they'll be fine. So I agree with you. I think this should be a bit naughty because they didn't play that good, but I also think that the Texans will be fine.
I didn't want to kill any of the non-contending teams out there. That's why I
you don't want to kill the Jets like you wanted to last
week. Or the Chiefs or the Dolphins. Or
the Chiefs going to a QB3. That's unfortunate.
Yeah. God help me if I have to pronounce that name. Anyway, I'm going to figure
Chris Oladokun.
Oladokun? Is that how you do it? Yeah. That might be easier than I thought. All right. Let's take a break. That's the Who's Been Naughty, Who's Been Nice of the week. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little Niners next on 1430 ESPN. To Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Let's do a little daily spread brought to you by Chancy Gold Resort Casino, because I want to wrap this week, and then we got to like preview the next week of football in the next hour. So I want to talk about Niners, Colts. We'll talk about maybe a little bit more as we get to the end of the next hour as well. But daily spread brought to you by Chancy Gold Resort Casino. If you're not trying your luck with your teams, try your luck with Chancy Gold Resort Casino up there now. A better place to be, right? Niners, 5.5-point favorites on the road against Indy. But Tanvir, you woke up this morning and you have a gut feeling about, you just got a weird vibe about this game.
I don't necessarily have it from the fact that, like, I think we're going to lose this game or something, but I feel like the stakes of this game have definitely just, like, sank, because we don't necessarily, like, we're in the playoffs. We clinched because of the Lions' loss. And so for that aspect, I feel it's a weird game, because I was so hyped up thinking that it was a must-win game. And then yesterday we kind of just clinched because the Lions lost. And it's just a weird just downturn in my hype for this game. I still think it'll be a good game, but I still understand the fact that even if we lose, we'll be fine.
Do you feel like the Niners winning the division is quintessential? Like, because that's the thing. That's like the path is in front of you. So it's like, to me, if I'm a Niner, if I'm the 49ers, if I'm Kyle, if I'm I want as much rest as I possibly can with what this roster looks like.
Of course.
And three wins will get me that in terms of it. But
I still think it is a must win in terms of that aspect. But I think the pressure of not making the playoffs in a season where the playoffs are right there. Like, I don't necessarily have much expectations once we hit the playoffs, and maybe that's just me being a negative guy. I'm a half-glass empty guy with this team because of all the injuries, but I still think that, I do agree with you. The mindset should be there that the win is necessary, but I still think that the hype for this game, because of the fact that we still made the playoffs, is still a little bit down for me.
There's reasons to be concerned if you're a 49er fan tonight in terms of the matchup, just the Jonathan Taylor of it at all. He's been due. I think that's where we're kind of sitting at as far as Jonathan Taylor is concerned. But let's be fair, teams are keying in on that because old man Rivers is out there playing. The Niners don't generate turnovers, and that's been my concern about this defense, just because it doesn't have the skill players to do so. Is Rivers going to get sacked tonight is a question I have in terms of this team. Will they be able to get home on Phillip Rivers? You'd like to believe so, but those are all questions I have in tonight's game in terms of what it's going to be determined in terms of the outcome. I think it all matters in what the defense does tonight for the 49ers. I think the offense will do what it does. It's just a matter of if the defense can just be what it needs to be.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we had a similar game like early on in the year against the Atlanta Falcons, where you have a quarterback that you don't necessarily have a worry about.
Yeah.
And sure, there are some good receiving options like Kyle Pitts and Drake London in that game. And this game is going to be like Michael Pittman, Tyler Warren, and those guys. And you have an elite running back with Jonathan Taylor. But I think this game is going to kind of play out similar to that one, because Bijan Robinson, although he did get a touchdown in that game, he didn't really gash the team as I thought he would. And so I think that some of the players returning will definitely be a help for this team. But yes, I am still worried. This is the team with the lowest sack percentage in the NFL in terms of just overall plays, and they have the second lowest interception percentage on defensive plays. And so this is a team that if they want to go far, you're going to have to do those things well, and I just don't know if they're going to do that. But in this game, I still think that they can still get it done on the defensive side if they game plan like they did against Atlanta.
The Colts are going to try to just boa constrict this game as much as possible. I think the Niners are going to try to boa constrict this game. I think it's going to be...
I think they're going to just try and boat race them by the start and just win the game.
This game could
early.
Be over by 7:45. Like, yeah. It could be like that Falcons game, how quickly it was, but... Come on, Tanvir. You need to be a half glass full kind of guy. We need some cheering. We need some people going crazy. We need you to get going. Go.
Yeah.
Come on, Tanvir. Let's get it. Let's get rolling here. All right.
Yeah, let's go.
How's your eardrums?
You know, they actually, it was louder than I thought it was going to be. I thought the earphones were, or the headset was going to muffle it a little bit.
No, but the mic opens up, and so all of it's going into your ear anyway.
Exactly. That's what it is, and I didn't think about that beforehand.
So now you messed up. Riley, we appreciate your job there.
Your contributions.
You're a great cheerleader, by all things. There you go. Riley, she does a great job by the office. So, but anyways, official predictions. Tanvir, I'm assuming you're going with a Niner win tonight.
Yeah, I'm not going to be just a Debbie Downer and predict a loss. I still think the Niners will win this game, and I think it'll be 49ers 26, Colts 20.
I think it'll be an interesting game. My heart wants me to pick this Colts game.
Like, I know you do.
But I
you
can't. Do. I just can't do it. I got to pick the Niners here. I got to pick the – like, fantasy – there's a lot of fantasy things around right now in this game. I just kind of want it to be like 28-13.
Okay.
I think it's just kind of that. Riley, Niners?
Heck yeah. There you go. I am not taking any other outcome tonight. Niners are winning.
All right. Niners are winning. Niners in a sweep. All right.
I will say quickly, I think the 5.5 point spread is a little surprising to me. I thought it would be a little closer, even though the Colts are have like, on like a four game
streak. It's a little high. I think it'd be a 3-point game. It could be a 3-point game. We'll see. All right. Let's take a break. Hour number two coming up next on 1430.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right, Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Hour number two of our show tonight before we send it out to Indianapolis for Niners and Colts. Monday Night Football starting in less than an hour. The sight that I just saw on my television in the Sunday night or the Monday night pregame show or whatever can only be described as the following, which was the drumline for the Indianapolis Colts joined by Jason Kelce dressed as Santa Claus playing a guitar. I don't know what the theme was. I had the TV muted, but it was a sight to behold by all. I don't have your mic on. I'm sorry. There you go, Tamir.
How dare you silence me? I don't know. I totally lost my thought now.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Jason Kelce rules.
Good for him.
Good for him, right? Good for him.
That was the sight that I should behold. That's what I was going to say.
The sight you should behold.
I'll go back and watch it.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be posted on all social medias or whatever, but they have an hour until this game kicks off, which will be a fun one. By the way, we'll be at Major Wager tonight. Chance to win some great prizes over there if you want to head over. Just two more major wagers in the rest of the year. This one and then Rams-Falcons to shut it all down at the end of the year. We don't do major wager in the playoffs. Apologies, folks. We just not it.
They have no Super Bowl?
No.
Tough.
Not on a Monday, unless they move the Super Bowl to a Monday. Wouldn't that be something? Anyways, Tanvir, it's Monday, but here's the problem. We only have one show this week, so we got to fit some segments in here that we normally do throughout the week. And are you ready to look ahead of Week 17 already? I know your Niners haven't even finished playing this week.
Right.
But I think it's time, right? We got to rank the games. And not only rank the games, Tanvir, got to pick them too. Are you ready to pick games already on a Monday? It feels weird, right?
Yes, I am ready. It is weird to pick games on a Monday, but yeah, we can go and do it, and we're going to rank at the same time.
We're ranking them at the same time, and we're
so
picking
odd.
Them. This is,
but let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's do it. First off, before we get rolling, the Bonatti Blitz is brought to you by Grocery Outlet. Of course, Grocery Outlet with all the wonderful holiday savings you could get. Boy, if you're getting that holiday ham, that'd be a nice time to go get it right now. Go to your Northwest, Southeast, Downtown, and Kerman and Sanger locations for Grocery Outlet. Nothing like it here. Be sure to stop by today. All right, let's get the music rolling. Week 17. That used to be the final week. It's no longer that. Super NFL season. Anyways, we start with the worst game of the week, and it's a stinker, and it's on Christmas. It's the Chiefs and the Broncos battling in Kansas City. What is the name of the quarterback again for Kansas City at this
Chris
time?
Chris Oladokun.
Chris Oladokun, backed off by some guy named Bouchelle.
Shane Bouchelle.
Shane Bouchelle?
Yep.
Dare you to know where those guys play college football.
I know. Shane Bouchelle went to Texas.
Texas?
And I think he also played at SMU.
Oh, my goodness. All right. I know Samford's in one of those two quarterbacks' resume.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. We're really stretching the knowledge. Which teams to tell you, I have no analysis other than to say, Broncos, better win. That's all I got, and I'm going to pick them. But this could really get ugly quick.
Yeah, this is also my it's number 16 matchup of the week. I also think the Broncos are going to win. This is a nice bounce back game for them, for a team that doesn't really have anything to play for. Yeah, I think this is going to be as simple as that. I think Denver goes out there and wins this game.
Someone says poor Amazon, but I think they're doing fine with them paying for this game.
This Thursday night schedule of this year has been insane, so they're fine.
They're fine. Next up. God, I hate putting this game here, but I'm putting the Titans and Saints here just for the stakes. I do like me some Tyler Shook. I do like me that Saints team who, you know, did what they needed to do against this New York Jets squad last week. You know, the Titans, you know, they really put it to the Chiefs this week. I'm not going to, like, take anything away from them that the Chiefs not having Mahomes. I thought that was a complete performance from Tennessee, and they need that if they're going to be a young squad moving on up. I've noticed in my list I've picked a lot of road teams, so I got to pick some home teams. I'm going to pick the Titans here to beat the Saints.
Yeah, there's a lot of road teams that I have winning as well, but this is also one of them. I have this actually a little higher at number 12 for me, but I have the Saints getting their fourth win in a row. I think they're actually playing great football right now. I know there's this debate going on Twitter that this is the best team in the NFC South at this point of the season, but... regardless, I think the Saints are doing well this year. I think the Titans are as well, and I think this is going to be a low-key shootout, but give me the Saints.
Are the Saints the 2017 Niners when they acquired Jimmy G?
Yes. So yeah. That means they will be going to a Super Bowl the next season.
2 years.
Or two seasons.
They'll lose Tyler Shook for the year, and then Tyler Shook will take them to a Super Bowl
to the
in 2027.
Line.
All right. Next up. I got Dolphins and Bucks here next. Just simply the Dolphins' experience of watching them play football was not ideal. And Tampa's just a sad, sad state of affairs. I don't get anything from this Tampa Bay Bucks team other than Mike Evans just being super frustrated at the end of a football game. God help them if they don't win this game. That's where I'm at with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm picking them to win, but I'm kind of shrug emoji on this game in terms of what we could see.
Yeah, this is upset alert for me as well. I have this game at number 10, so a little bit higher because of the stakes. And I also think that Miami can put up points with the players that they have. But I also have Tampa Bay winning this game. I think they're going to, you know, they got a little slap in the face last week against the Carolina Panthers. And I think they're going to win this game to try and win the division by year's end. Basically, if they lose this game, they're out. So I think they will win.
They lose, but if the Panthers lose, they're still alive.
Yes. Okay.
Are. Gotcha. That's what it is, and they all that matters is the Week 18 game. But
yep.
Next up, Bengals Cardinals. I think this could be a really weird, fun game. Like I think from a sicko standpoint, like at least there will be points scored. But in the grand scheme of it, I'm not paying too much attention to it just simply because I don't want to waste my time watching irrelevant football. So give me Cincy to win on the road. It'll be cold, and I think Arizona has too many hurt pieces on that side of the ball.
Yeah, I will also pick Cincy in this game. I still remember when Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow went absolutely ballistic against the Arizona Cardinals a couple of years ago, and I think Ja'Marr had like 55 fantasy points in that game. So that is something that Ja'Marr Chase owners will want to see repeated in this game. I also have Cincy winning, but this is my third lowest game of the week because there is basically zero stakes in this one. But, you know, I think the Bengals are a fun team to watch regardless.
Next up, Jets and Patriots in New Jersey. The Patriots with a nice comeback win over Baltimore. The Jets are just hapless in every department that they can imagine. And nothing gets easier against this Patriots team in terms of it. I don't foresee this game being somewhat close whatsoever. My worry is that just MetLife can chew up some Patriot players with injury situations. So I really, really just want to get out of that game healthy as a Patriots fan. And I would expect them to win. They should win. And if they don't, I'm completely out on this team.
Yeah, second lowest game for me. I also have the New England Patriots winning this game. I think the Jets are one of the most depressing franchises in sports, regardless of sports. And I think this is another season where it's kind of just come and gone, and they're just not a great team. So, yeah, this is just going to bring down that factor for me. But give me New England in this one.
Someone said that Joe Namath, until he's gone from this world, the Jets will not win a Super Bowl. Like, he sold his soul for the guarantee, and this is what Jets fans
all the way back in Super Bowl III.
Yeah. Anyways, I hope Joe's doing great. I'm not wishing anything. Anyways, actually, I would like Joe Namath to be alive for a very long time.
Agreed.
For that case. Anyways, next up, another Christmas battle. Commanders Cowboys. I got here next. I could actually flip it with the other Christmas game now that I think about it more, but I think this game at least will be close. It's just not relevant. You know, you still got some star players in this game with Dak and CD and Pickens and all that crew out there as far as that's concerned. It's going to be in Washington. Who knows who's starting quarterback? Are we going to get Josh Johnson a quarterback for the Washington Commanders? My God. NFC Championship legend, 49ers legend, Josh Johnson in this football game.
He's a legend for like half the league at that point.
I mean, give me Dallas to win on the road over Washington.
Yeah, of all the irrelevancy that will be happening on Christmas Day for the NFL, I think this is going to be the most entertaining game out of all of them for me personally. I have this at number 7, which seems super high for a game that has zero stakes, but I just think it'll be a fun game between two teams that, you know, they have a couple of very great entertaining games under their belt. So I have this at number 7. I have the Cowboys beating the Commanders. I just think the Commanders are just toasted at this point of the season. I think they're just going to, you know, let the rest of the season ride out. And whether it's Marcus Mariota or Josh Johnson, I don't think that they're going to be able to win this game. So give me the Cowboys. And this is my number 7 game of the week.
Next up, Vikings-Lions is the other Christmas game. And that's what I got next here. I have toiled around the idea of picking Minnesota in this game for so long, and then Max Brosmer is here, and then I can't do it, and I will not do it. Somehow Detroit should win this game, but I'm very disappointed, like I said, with this Lions team and the way they played. This should be a ho-hum victory for Detroit, but I would imagine it is too little too late for this Detroit team in terms of them getting into the playoffs, but it has to start here, and they need a win, and so I'll pick them here.
What game was it?
Detroit and Minnesota.
Yeah, Detroit and Minnesota. I have this in the middle of the pack at number 8. I think the Lions are going to finally get a win against this or against the team over the last couple of weeks. They've been playing pretty poorly. They're going to need this win to keep their playoff hopes alive, and I don't think J.J. McCarthy and that squad will have it in them to beat this team, even if he is on the field or not. But, yeah, give me the Lions, but I also think this is an upset alert game where the Vikings could kind of just kick the Lions out of playoff contention.
Real quick question. Of the three home dogs on Christmas, who would you most likely say can win?
Vikings. I think the Vikings are the most likely team to win. Chiefs have zero chance, in my opinion. I think the Commanders have a little bit of a chance, but I think the Vikings can catch out the Lions because of their defense.
Next up, I got Monday Night Football here next. This is the game I don't know where to put it, but I'm just going to put it here in the middle for me. Rams and Falcons in Atlanta. You know, the Falcons just kind of doing what they need to do in this late stage of the season, which is play your draft pick as high as you possibly can because the Rams own it. So there's no point in you tanking. in terms of it. So there's incentive here. I think there's a little juice because of that fact, because these two teams share that kind of tie-in. Rams want to improve their draft pick by winning. Isn't that fascinating? I like that twist, but I don't know if it'll be a close game on Monday night.
Yeah, that is quite a hilarious twist if I've ever seen it. I think the Rams are going to win this game. This is a little bit lower for me. I think the Rams will take care of business, but I think this is a benchmark game for the Rams to kind of see, are we seeing a little bit of a slide here on the back end of this game? Because I don't, if they don't have a great performance in this one, I think those murmurs will start popping up for this team, even though I personally think the Rams are one of the best teams in the league, and I still think they are the Super Bowl favorite, in my opinion. I think that this could be a game where we see a little bit of shakiness from this team, and if they do, I think the conversation is going to change around the Rams.
Next up! God, I couldn't put this game any higher, but it's so fun. It's so fun to think about what's at stake between the Raiders and the Giants in Las Vegas. I know the football will be brutal, but the idea that we could have the number one overall pick determined in this game is fascinating to me. And you know what? The Raiders were kind of watchable yesterday, and I'll give them props for it. There's a little bit of a gentiness here that I'm kind of interested to see. He could be a fantasy winner next week against this Giants defense. And so I envision some bigger plays in this game from the Raiders side. I think this is actually could be a fascinating game if Jackson Dart is actually able to unleash the rest of this year. So why not? I have the Raiders Giants here, and I have the Raiders winning their third game of the year.
Yeah, I have this the fourth lowest, but I also see a path where this could be one of my favorite games of the week just because of the stupidity that will be on display between these two teams. I think the Giants win this game. I just think their defense will get it done, and I think Jackson Dart will just run over this Raiders defense. But regardless of this situation, I mean, the loser is going to get the higher draft pick because of the head-to-head record possibly. So, give me the Giants in this one, and this is number 13 for me out of 16 games.
I love the idea that there's two afternoon games on the slate. If you notice it, it's Philly and Buffalo just doing what they're doing.
Right.
And over on the side, we get the sideshow of Raiders Giants.
And it will be a double watch for me. I will have both of those games on my screen.
I just go to Red Zone. I'm going to let them change the channel for me. Hey, flip it back and forth for me. Come on. Anyways, next up, we go to Cleveland for the Browns and the Steelers. Pittsburgh looks like they're going to win this division, and certainly a win this week would cement that for them. We're still on the sack record watch, I believe, with Myles Garrett, who was nearly closely there in terms of that for the Browns. But, you know, the Browns competed hard against against the Buffalo Bills this past week, but it is tough to see Quishon Judkins go down like that. And to me, that sours the ability of the Browns offense to do what I think I would hope to see them do against Pittsburgh, which I think their defense has come along strong the last couple of weeks. So I'd imagine Pittsburgh will win, but I'm here for the Myles Garrett history of it too, because I think it's impressive with 16 games here in that Garrett could break the sack record.
Yeah, Garrett has been on a tear over the last about nine games. He's gotten at least half a sack in each one. He needs one sack for the record. It was quite funny to me that he was basically a hand away from the record, but Mason Graham kind of just swiped it away from him. But, you know, good on the rookie for that sack. I have this at number nine. I think Pittsburgh will win this game, but I think there is an opportunity for Shedeur Sanders to do something against this defense, because I feel like this defense will struggle against some rushing type of quarterbacks that kind of go out of the play. So I think that this will be a close game. I think number nine is where I have it, and I think Pittsburgh is going to win, but I think this will be a close game like the Buffalo game was for the Browns.
Next up, just missing my top five, I have the Colts and the Jaguars in Indy next, and I personally think this game could get ugly like it did about 3 weeks ago when the Colts started losing all the quarterbacks they owned. In terms of that, the Jaguars is hot of a team in the NFL as we talk about it now. And I would say that Trevor Lawrence is a quarterback that will continue to roll in the way he has playing this Indy squad in Indianapolis. I don't imagine anything different from the result from 3 weeks ago other than just the stakes of it. I like the novelty of Philip Rivers. Actually, I probably should have had this a little lower if I think it's going to be not as close, but I think in the terms of stakes, what Jacksonville has in front of them, needing this kind of game on the road against a division opponent, I think there's some intrigue there.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a little bit of a better game than we saw last time between the Jaguars and the Colts. I also have this at the number six spot. I don't think that we're going to see a blowout like we did last time, but I think the Colts' playoff dreams are going to be on the ropes in this game. And so I think this could provide some very entertaining football. I still have the Jaguars winning this game, and I have it in the exact same spot that you do. But again, I think Indy will provide a very tough opponent for the Jaguars.
This changes if Indy wins tonight. And to me, I'm like, if Indy wins tonight, I'm a little bit.
That jacks up the pressure even more for this game.
Yeah, especially for the – well, we'll talk about another team coming up. Next up, Panthers and Seahawks in Carolina makes my number five spot here. And I just think – Carolina shows up when they need to show up against the big teams, and they're horrible against the bad teams. But we know how good Seattle is, and they just, you know, the Panthers have beaten the Rams in their own house, and Seattle now has to go into the house of horrors that is apparently Bofa out in Charlotte. And I'm not putting the Panthers past anybody in terms of actually playing up to their opponent there. And so I think this game can be close. I think there is a path that the Panthers could beat this Seahawks team, especially with Seattle coming off the high emotion of a game like that on Thursday. It is hard to back that up. Just see the Bills from yesterday when they beat New England like they did, and then came back and played the Browns yesterday, and it was somewhat of a struggle. I'm foreseeing that again, and I'm foreseeing a Carolina Panther upset at home in Charlotte. Give me the Panthers to get the win that the Niners need, that the Rams need, and beating Seattle.
You remember last week when I was talking about how the Spurs had such a cathartic win, but it kind of crashed down right after that. I could see this game being similar to that. The last NFC West opponent that the Cardinals played at home, they won that game by 3 points against the Los Angeles Rams, and I think this could be a similar game. I think this will be a very close game, as you said, but I also have the Seahawks winning this one. I think they will go into that final game against San Francisco, battling for the number one seed against the 49ers, and I think that this will be a very entertaining game. I have this at number three on my list.
Next up, a Saturday game in Green Bay, the Packers and the Ravens, two teams who are in a little bit of a spiral here down the stretch. And maybe what sours this game a little bit for me is we don't even know if the starting quarterbacks are going to play in this game between Love and Lamar. But Green Bay's got to pick itself up. They were so close to figuring out that game against Chicago. We didn't talk about that crazy ending much, but boy, it gave me akin to like the NFC Championship against Seattle, 11 years ago when the Packers blew it on that onside kick. Packer fans don't want to think about onside kicks ever again. But I think the Packer defense still, to me, is a top end defense that I think still can frustrate teams. And the Baltimore Ravens are a team that certainly struggles in spurts as an offense, in my opinion. And so I would pick Green Bay here just off of that. The Ravens in their dire straits, I think, finally see their season come to an end in Lambeau. Give me the Packers.
Yeah, number five game of the week for me. I think that this game has a lot to do with the playoff race, but I'm not necessarily hyped for this game because I just feel like both of these teams have churned out some boring games over the last couple of games. I think Green Bay will win this one as well. I think that Baltimore's playoff hopes will basically be dashed after this one, and I am giving it a little bit of leeway because of the Tyler Huntley versus Malik Willis factor, which I think, you know, can be entertaining in its own right, but I don't think it's as entertaining as Jordan Love versus Lamar Jackson.
Next up, I got Buffalo and Philly here at number three. The Buffalo Bills, like I said, I think we saw them. I foresaw them kind of struggling against that Browns team. And Philly, I think, has some similar DNA with what the Cleveland Browns do in terms of running the football, in terms of pass rush pressure. And I think Philly is at least getting a little healthier, and they get a little bit of extra rest from the extra day on that Saturday game. I think Philly, of course, what is the want they have in terms of winning down the stretch here, or do they want to be a team set up well for the NFC playoffs as a group? I think they want one more good performance. I think beating Buffalo will do that for them. And I think Buffalo is a little vulnerable still in terms of it. So I'm going to go Philly. I think Saquon can have a big day. I'm going to pick the Eagles to beat Buffalo.
This is my number one game of the week, and I think this has obviously the implications for the playoffs is massive. Philly, you know, they're at 10 wins right now. They could still possibly get the one seed, but they need to have a lot of things happen for them to get that. And on the other end, Buffalo, they're going to try and get a better spot in the wild card race and possibly even win the division. I don't know if that's even in the...
They can win the division if the Patriots lose one and they win out.
Against the Jets and the Dolphins, which is interesting. But I think this is a matchup, as you said, Saquon Barkley versus this Buffalo Bills rush defense. The Buffalo Bills rush defense has been the second worst in the NFL this season. Saquon Barkley hasn't had that great of a year, but last week he was really good. So I think this could be a little bit of a revival for this running game, and I think the Eagles will find a way to have some good rushing attack, but I still think the Bills will win. I think Josh Allen is playing at another level right now, even though he had a weird foot injury last week, and we'll see how that affects him, but I think the Bills will get out and win this game.
Next up, my number two game of the week, Chargers and Texans in L.A. Saturday, the day game at 1:30 Pacific time. Give me this game immediately. This is the one I'm probably craving the most in terms of AFC playoff prediction outside of my other one, my number one game. But the Chargers and Texans, to me, tells me a lot about what the AFC playoff picture will look like in terms of how I look at these teams and where they rank. I'm a believer in this Chargers team. I think this defense can really frustrate CJ Stroud in this offense, who cannot run the football. Woody Marks not being in that game yesterday, I think, was a big key injury for the Texans. And if they don't have a sustainable running game to go after it, I think the Chargers secondary can really attack what the Texans offer. It's just a matter of what Justin Herbert and how he can stay up against this Texans defense. And from what I saw the last few weeks, I think Herbert has been able to make the plays that he's needed to make against some tough pass rushers. So give me the Chargers here to win over Houston and get a step closer to that AFC West title.
Yeah, this is my number four game of the week. I think there's a little bit of skew here because I am really paying attention to the NFC West matchups, but this is probably the most consequential game of the week and for the playoffs. Houston, you know, I think them riding that seven-game winning streak, one of the hottest teams in the league, but the Chargers have been on a winning streak of their own since that Jacksonville loss. So I think these are two teams that could be dark horses to make the Super Bowl because the AFC, I think, is wide open for who's going to make it out of that conference. But I think the winner of this game will be my dark horse to get to the Super Bowl. I got the Texans beating the Chargers, but I still think this is going to be a very entertaining game. This is why it's number four for me on my list.
And my number one game of the week is in Santa Clara for Sunday Night Football, the 49ers and the Bears in a battle in the NFC. Really could matter in terms of head-to-head. If the Bears win a division, the Niners are a one seed, the Niners could be a one seed with that win. Of course, consequential nature of this game throughout. Bears could clinch a division here with a win in terms of that as well. So, and plus just a fascinating matchup of what Chicago's turnover opportunistic team versus a team that can't quite get anybody to turn it over on that side of the ball. Can the 49ers handle Caleb Williams and his ability to avoid pass rushers and find ways to maneuver in the pocket? I think it's a fascinating matchup in terms of McCaffrey against this Bears defense in terms of that. What Kittle can do, I think this game has everything to me, and that's why it's number one.
Do you have a team?
Oh, and the 49ers.
Win?
I'm picking the 49ers to win it over the Chicago Bears.
All right. Yeah, I have this at number two. I think this, as you stated, number one seed on the line. You know, if you asked me that, will the Niners be in number one seed contention when we lost Fred Warner, I would say you're an idiot for saying that. But I'm an idiot looking like we couldn't get the one seed. So I think this is going to be a fun game. I think George Kittle could have a massive game in this one because I think the Chicago Bears defense can really get destroyed by those bootleg play action plays to George Kittle. But I also have the 49ers winning this game. I think this is going to be a very close one. And number two for me, I think this could be the most entertaining game of the week for sure, though.
That is your Benatti Blitz for week 17. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more Behind the Bench right after this on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Monday, December 22nd. Just a little bit of time left in our show here before we send it out to Indianapolis. One topic we have not talked about yet is the bowl game. The Arizona Bowl, or as I believe the proper vernacular of it, is the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl presented by Gin and Juice by Dre and Snoop. I think that's the exact vernacular term or whatever it is. And, excuse me, of course, it's going to be interesting to watch how these two teams will battle. Of course, Fresno State has been off for so long, right? The Bulldogs, your Bulldogs, have been away for what has now been, I think, a little – when kickoff happens, it will be a little under a month since Fresno State last played a football game. And that was an eighth win on the season over San Jose State. Pretty convincing win in terms of it. And it's going to be very interesting to see what these two teams will look like when it comes to the game. Now, from boots on the ground, paying attention to what has been kind of talked about, it sounds like outside of a couple of transfers from this Bulldog squad, or, you know, the minimal impact transfers, I think, for so far, there's been some players that have already transferred that not really been in that starting lineup, cracking that starting lineup for the Bulldogs. It sounds like there has been a lot of continuity with this group throughout this month of December, which is nice. I think this is a good product of the transfer portal not opening up until later on, especially when you have a sustainable kind of program, you know, sustainability when it comes to Fresno State and what they're doing. And, of course, Coach Entz is locked in on trying to get to a ninth win. It is going to be interesting to see, like, what the coaching moves are going to be in a game like this, what the Bulldogs will come out with in terms of starting combinations, in terms of what playing time we will see versus how you foresee for the future, but also doing right by the guys who have done so much for this team and what the Bulldogs will look like. And there's a multitude of factors in this game of who will start at quarterback, how the offense will look. If Speedy Luke, who, by the way, is still trying to recover from an injury in that San Jose State game, I know he's, I would say, from the NFL terminology side of it, he is questionable for what this game will look like. But the hope is that he is able to play in some form or fashion. And if that's the case, I think on paper, this Fresno State team will look like a team that should be able to win this football game. Paying attention to what's been going on with this Miami Redhawk team, the quarterback position is the one of question right now based off of what they have presented. I think their quarterback walked away, I believe, from the program to pursue, was it the draft?
Yeah, prepare for the draft.
Prepare for the draft, whatever that means. All right, good for you, whatever. What that means for the Bulldogs is I think this is a defense that can have its way on Saturday in Tucson, Arizona. And so that's my immediate thought. However, we are not free from sin when it comes to our quarterback position as well. And I'm genuinely curious to see how Coach Entz will handle that starting job, whether it's EJ or whether it's Carson Conklin in that starting role.
How crazy is it is that we're 13 weeks in and this is still a conversation?
Right? Crazy. In the bowl season. But, like, for you, you play Coach Entz for a hot second, Tanvir. What are you doing with the quarterback position on Saturday?
Man, I don't know, man. I'm with there with Coach Entz and not understanding, like, which quarterback to go with. I guess I would go with Warner at this point. Like, he's played the last couple of games. Just keep that continuity going.
Yeah.
And just finish out the season strong.
And do you think it signals something? If you start Warner in this game, does it signal something to, like, I don't just throw guys around into starting lineups and use them as pieces. I am a coach that understands the human element of it. And I think EJ has had moments for us that I feel like I want to reward him for with a bowl game. He had more to do with the wins, the eight wins, than I think any other quarterback did. And so I feel like I need to reward him in some sort of human fashion. And maybe there's a humanizing element to it as a coach to think about, like, these guys are real people. It's not like your pieces in a video game, right? And so when you think of doing right by players in games like this, I go back to, well, if you're going to preach who you are as a coach, like Coach Entz is preaching, then maybe going to EJ is the right move, because you're a guy that says, I'm not going to throw some guy away just because I don't like the way he plays. But to be fair, EJ needed to earn it in some form or fashion. You can go on the flip side of, well, EJ did deserve to get benched in some form or fashion. It's not like we're a charity case here in terms of that. But it's a fine line. I don't think there's a right answer. I really don't think there's a right answer to what this bowl game starting quarterback question would be.
Yeah, no. And also, both of these defenses are going to have the advantage over both of the offenses, in my opinion. And so whoever I feel is going to give their offenses a better chance to kind of embrace the suck and just go and win this football game is the person who I'm ultimately going to give the starting position to. And that's on Matt Ince to kind of figure that out, right? This is also the last game of the season. I believe this is the last game of EJ Warner's career, if I'm not mistaken, right? Or yeah. is he coming back?
He's not eligible, no.
And so that's where I think you can give credence to, let's put EJ out there for this game.
But in the scheme of what, like, this matchup to me, like, Miami was a team in the MAC championship, it's considered the second best MAC team, but like I really don't think this Miami team matches up well.
No.
Against Fresno State whatsoever. I'm looking at, like, just the idea of the matchup, and I just think this defense can certainly feast on Saturday. And I think that's kind of where the Bulldog fans should be paying attention to anyway. As much as we malign about the quarterback and what the running game is doing and what kind of wide receivers are showing up and where's our blocking and, you know, where's our production. We won't have Tarwater for the game. He's out with an injury. So what tight ends will contribute in terms of that? As much as the hand-wringing will be there for this Bulldog team in terms of that, I think it's the defense complementing the offense in terms of setting up the field position, what the special teams can do. I think it's going to be a game about that instead of, like, what our quarterback will be doing throughout the game. I think it's on that side.
And that's kind of been the story of this team for the entire year, right? This is going to be supplementary football towards the quarterback and trying to put the quarterback in the best position to kind of lead this team to a victory. And I think it will be the same way for this Miami of Ohio game in this Arizona Bowl. I stated, I think the defenses will have the advantages, but I think Fresno State's offense will be ready and have a little bit more continuity to attack the opposing defense. On the opposite side, I don't see Miami of Ohio doing that just because of how weird their quarterback situation has also been. It's probably been weirder than what Fresno State's quarterback situation has been in all reality. And so, I agree with you. I think this game is going to be one with the surrounding parts versus just the quarterback.
Oh, and by the way, they don't have their top receiver. Miami doesn't. And oh, by the way, they don't have their top pass rusher.
These are going to be skeletons of teams that are fighting each other, and I think the skeleton of Fresno State might be slightly more connected than
it's a much Miami stronger. Ohio. I think it's a much. I mean, Fresno State really didn't lose a whole lot. Like, Jaden Davis is gone from the transfer portal, and in terms of injury, we'll see. I don't know. I the whole running back core sounds like it's still there. In terms of it, I just don't. it's hard for me to find a world where Miami beats Fresno State on Saturday, which makes bowl season just all the more wild because, then we could get into a situation where it's like 23-7 and, you know, there's just nothing offered from either side in terms of it. But let's really be honest with ourselves here. Like, you don't have a quarterback, you're not winning a football game. And as much as the quarterback situation for Fresno State is what it is and how much we get mad about it, I mean, the Miami situation is just rough. It is just a rough situation. So I would imagine mistakes will be made. I would imagine it's kind of like could be the Boise State kind of style game.
Yeah.
In terms of how that game will be won. And I would predict, and I think I will predict right now, I would predict the Fresno State to win 31-10. I think it's going to be just kind of that game. The Bulldogs will roll and they should roll. And if they don't, I'm going to evaluate things and whatever that game will show. And we move on to what the transfer portal will look like and what kind of needs the Bulldogs will need to shore up, which I think would start for me quarterback, and it would start for me wide receiver.
Yeah, I think those are definitely the two positions in the most need. Maybe DB because you're losing a lot of players on that side of the ball too. I think Fresno State will also win. I think Fresno State's going to win this game 28-13. I think it's going to be a similar type of game, as you said, just a little bit closer to the field goals for both sides. But, yeah, I think Fresno State should still be able to go in there and get the win with the players that they still have on this roster, because the opposing team, I still think, while they do have a defense that, can stuff, I also think that this Fresno State offense has the opportunity to beat them more than the Miami offense does our defense.
The importance to Coach Entz and, like, the narrative around him to get eight-win season versus nine-win season, I think there's a little bit of a different feel there as well in what we are looking at in terms of his first-year evaluation. And I've been saying this, outside of the handling of the quarterback situation, which I don't think, like, I think a lot of people – if we had the armchair Fresno State fans out there, I think we'd be voting on a different quarterback to start every week. So I'm not trying to kill Coach Entz in that situation. But I would say I think maybe it handled a little bit with a little bit a better situation. But outside of that, I think first-year evaluation, he gets a win here against Miami. I'd be hard-pressed to find it any lower than like a B-plus, A-minus performance from him as a first-year head coach for this Bulldog team.
Yeah, I think this is going to cap off a season that had some highs, had some lows, but we kind of expected more lows to start the year, and it's honestly been better than a lot of people would have even thought coming into this season. Not saying that this team wasn't good or anything coming into the preseason, but it takes a lot to have a good season after that much turnover, and for them to have that much continuity coming into the season, losing that game at Kansas, and then still being able to rip off a lot of wins, I think it says a lot about this coaching staff, and I think they're going to cap off this season with a win as well, and create a B-plus to A-minus season, as you said, by year's end.
Impressive wins in the year I'll think about, especially the Boise game, the Hawaii game. I think those are like my two like
boogeyman games that we would have lost in the past that we won this year.
Yeah.
And sure, there's some games that we would have won in the past that we lost this year, but that's always Utah State as well. But those are always things you can improve.
Yeah, certainly. And I'm excited for the future. We're moving into a Pac-12, and we'll see what that conference looks like, whatever that means, whatever it stands for in terms of it. We'll see what that all turns out to be. But Bulldogs in Tucson, I'll be there. So anyone wants to say hi, I'll be hanging around. See my face on the stream there? Yeah. Come say hi.
You'll see the massive Patriots cap.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm wearing the Patriots. I got a rack out. I heard it's going to be 54.
Jeez.
A game kick.
Layer up? Yeah. I mean, layer up for Fresno
State. In Arizona?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Whatever that means.
You're not layering up for anything.
No, I might. I still
it's
might.
Shorts and a t-shirt.
Shorts and a polo for me on the sideline. Should be interesting. Anyways, plus, if I get a picture of Snoop, I'll post it.
Oh, yes.
That. Yeah.
Do send.
Of Snoop or with Snoop?
With Snoop.
With Snoop. It can't be of Snoop.
Come
it can't
on,
be
man.
A weirdo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who does that?
Yeah,
everyone
no.
can do that.
No. Anyways. All right. Let's take a break. Let's wrap up the show next year on 1430 ESPN.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
All right. Welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN. Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. I need to find. I don't have the right stat. I need to see what the right stat is here. But I saw. Do you want to guess the Giants' record since they posted this boat photo?
I saw that tweet today. yeah, it's not that good. We've got like 20 wins or something.
11 wins.
11 and.
Well, okay, maybe they're a little bit more. That was 11. It was quoted in 2023. So I need to find like a better.
Yeah, but that photo is from like years ago though.
This the boat photo happened in 20.
It's like 17 or 18 or
17
something.
Or 18. Yeah, it was something like when they played the Giants or when they played the Packers, and the Packers ended up winning over that game. And then I think the Packers that was the year. I think it was 2019. I feel like it was 2019. I know they played the Packers, and I know Aaron Rodgers hit a Hail Mary to Randall Cobb in the back of the end zone during that game or whatsoever. Anyways, I got a lot to get to here. I think I had another crazy stat for you. Tim Beer, Christian McCaffrey in NFL history is the third most yards per game from scrimmage in NFL history through guys who played a minimum of 100 games. Do you have the other two in mind that are above him in NFL history?
Marshall Faulk, maybe?
No.
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 Okay.
I'll tell you number four is Walter Payton.
Okay. I think they're all running backs, I'd imagine.
They are.
Yeah.
Yes.
Those guys.
Yes.
Passing game and running. Dang, man. Barry?
Barry's number two.
Okay.
At 118.9. Christian's at 115.6. The number one guy's at 125.5.
Dang, I don't know.
Jim Brown.
Who?
Jim Brown.
Jim Brown, okay.
Jim Brown. Yeah, yeah. I think you're
slightly before my time.
A little bit before your time in terms of it. But just putting into context the Christian McCaffrey production and ability, and he could retire today and he's a Hall of Famer. I think that's no secret into that in terms of what his ability is. And I have a friend who needs him to not score 50, and I legit there could be a situation where that could happen in terms of a fantasy matchup.
Yeah, he could have his 2023 Cardinals game where he went for like 45. And yeah. Maybe that's still not enough.
Maybe it will be. Maybe it will. I don't know. We'll see. Here's what we got in terms of NFL action. Folks, we're gone for a while after this. Just a little heads up. I don't know if I can go through every specific thing we've got, but a little reminder what's on the schedule here. You got bowl games tomorrow all throughout the day. You got Sharks hockey on 790 tomorrow. Wednesday, we'll have the Hawaii Bowl for you on Christmas Eve. On Christmas Day, all on 1430, will be all the NFL action if you want to listen to that. We'll have some Laker basketball on 790. Lakers, Rockets. Hey, Tanvir, I think the NBA slate, Christmas Day, your Spurs Thunder rematch?
Yeah, that'll be so fun to watch.
Is that the biggest game of the day?
I think NBA is going to destroy the NFL on Christmas Day just because of the matchups themselves.
Except for my stupid Warriors playing the Mavericks right now. Like
that's thought to be a great game. Like the Christmas slate for the NFL, thought to be great games preseason, but as we go on into the season, it's a little bit worse for wear.
I think Cooper Flagg could score 50 in that game. It could.
He's been going off over these last couple of weeks.
Yeah, Flag versus Steph.
Yeah, the Warriors' defense not been playing that good.
I don't like him. I don't like him at all. Friday, we'll have another bowl game. I'm off. Saturday, we'll have some more football for you. We'll have the two Saturday games on 1430. We'll have a couple bowl games. How about that Pinstripe Bowl at 8:30 in the morning between Penn State and Clemson? Love it. Love it. on Saturday. Sunday, we'll have the Raider game against the Giants. We'll have Bears, Niners, Sunday Night Football on 1430. Lakers basketball on Sunday. Back on Monday, we may have a show. For full transparency, your boy's been summoned jury duty.
Summoned.
So we'll see. If I don't have to be there, we'll do a Monday show next Monday. If for some reason I have my is it federally obligated duty as a American citizen,
yep.
I have to fulfill on Monday. I will not have a show, but I'll be there. Major wager. Yeah,
you will find a way to make it to major wager.
The day ends at 5, according to the government. So. And I will be there when the game starts between the Rams and Falcons in a kickoff at 5:15. So that is...
Yeah, you're going to be sprinting down there to watch some mid.
Hey, I love the Rams, man.
I do too. Actually, I don't love the Rams. I just like how they play.
I love how they play. It's kind of been my NFC team for a little bit here. Anyways, outside of that, we'll be back off again. Bowl games galore. College football playoff will be on our air as well. You want to be tuned for that. I think college football playoff all going to be on 1430 throughout New Year's Eve and on January 1st. And then we'll have more bowl games on Friday the 2nd. So really, we'll return. Could be all the way into the new year back on like January 5th. I think we'll be back for sure. With more talk. But anyways, could be a while. So, Tanvir, you have a wonderful Christmas, man.
You too.
You have a wonderful New Year's. If I don't see you, we'll hope the audience does the same.
Yep.
And last thoughts on this Niners game? I just need Eddie P to hit extra points tonight.
Still feeling weird. Still feeling weird about it. But, I'm going to be rooting for a Niners dub all the way.
Boy, Phil Rivers just really fitting into that
We said it. He just his frame looks quite interesting.
Man. All right. Should be a fun one. Niners, Colts coming up next. Y'all have a Merry Christmas. Y'all have a Happy New Year. We'll see you when we see you next. Colts, Niners next on 1430.